Now, as Australia Day arrives for another year, 2017 has brought along with it celebration, reflection and mourning. What exactly is the history of our country? How does our history connect to Australia Day? Joining me on the phone this morning to unite us in history is Professor Frank Bongiorno, an Australian Labor political and cultural historian from ANU. Frank, good morning.
Morning, Adrian.
First of all, let's start off. What does Australia Day mean for you?
Oh, for me personally, well, it's a public holiday. I think it's, you know, it is a summer holiday too. It's just before children go back to school. And so, you know, I think its place in the Australian calendar has a lot to do with that, actually. And for a lot of Australians, that's what it means. But I don't really celebrate it as such. I mean, sometimes I might go to friends or something and you know, have a drink or a barbecue or something, but it's never really been something that I could say that I've marked in any special way.
Right. Yeah. Going back to the history of the day, and what are Australians interested in the history of this country, do you think?
Oh, look, I think they are. Sometimes I think that the interest is perhaps a little narrower than it might have been 30 or 40 years ago. I mean, clearly, if you go into a bookshop today, you'll see a pretty well-stocked shelf full of military histories, and clearly popular military history remains very important to a lot of Australians. I think family history too, the boom in family history just seems to go on forever, doesn't
Definitely.
It? And,
yeah.
You know, it's been stimulated, in large part by the web, but there's much more to it than that. I think that desire for connections and to understand one's roots is very powerful and often becomes more powerful as people get a little older, I think. And the success of, shows like Who Do You Think You Are and so on, I think has been really, really striking. And for a historian like me, very pleasing in some ways, because I think that kind of exercise really opens up a variety of different kinds of history. I think it's in the nature of things like family history and biography that there's a kind of serendipity to what you find, and so it can open up, you know, all sorts of histories that, you know, otherwise might be submerged.
Right. What parts of Australian history do you think have created the Australian identity? So much of what we're sort of told about today is it's celebrating the Australian identity. What moments or parts of Australian history do you think have created that identity?
Yeah, there's a kind of irony, isn't it? I mean, today commemorates or marks the arrival of the first fleet at Sydney at Port Jackson, or at least the sort of flag, you know, raising ceremony in 1788. And yet, I suspect that if you asked a large number of Australians the actual historical event that today marked, they'd be struggling, wouldn't they, to name that? Some, I suspect, would probably say Captain Cook or something like that. So, look, I think the parts of our past that have become increasingly important are clearly the military parts. I mean, the rise of ANZAC, you know, and consciousness of particularly Australia's sort of military history in the First World War has been really striking, you know, certainly since about the 1980s. There's also, I think, a real interest. I mean, if you look at some of the TV docudramas and miniseries and so on, there's clearly an interest too in popular culture and the recent past. So, whilst I'm not sure, you know, how tightly people tie that up with notions of Australian identity, I mean, clearly there is a real almost nostalgic interest, I think, in recent popular culture. I mean, I think we're about to have a mini-series on Paul Hogan, and, you know, there's been things on Molly Meldrum and all that sort of thing in the recent past. And so, you know, I think that there is a continuing and perhaps burgeoning interest in some aspects of the past. But it's different, I think, from, again, 30 or 40 years ago, where, you know, the British Empire and Australia's part in it was a very recent thing. And an interest in Australian history, you know, it was almost a kind of declaration of independence. It was sort of saying, you know, we have a past that's not simply about Britain or about Europe, and here it is. And I think we're in a different phase now, and it's a slightly more difficult one for those of us who teach and write Australian history to try and, I guess, to gesture to what people are actually interested in.
So would you say that it is the notion and the idea of Australia Day is changing?
It is. I've been very surprised, really, at how I think powerful the criticisms have been this time round. I mean, the fact that Australia Day has, you know, this double-edged character, that it emerged really in the early 1800s. It was often called Anniversary Day. It was a very Sydney-based celebration. It involved, you know, all sorts of things like boat races and sporting events and the like. And it, you know, it was a kind of a celebration often of of, you know, the ex-convicts and the native born of being Australian. You know, the day obviously has a quite a very double-edged character with critiques by particularly Aboriginal people that, you know, this marks the beginning of a great tragedy for them. And, you know, the term Invasion Day has sometimes been used. That's not a new critique. I mean, for the 150th anniversary of British settlement in Australia back in 1938, Aboriginal groups declared a day of mourning. You know, so the critique, if you like, is by no means new. It's been going for, you know, about 70 or 80 years. But it's certainly become a very powerful one, I think, that this is somehow an inappropriate day for celebration because, you know, of the fact that it represents the dispossession of Aboriginal people.
Mm. And with that change, as you sort of highlighted there, the changing ideas of what Australia Day means to Australians, what do you think it'll be in the future? What do you think we'll be doing 20 years down the past? What will 20 years in the future? Will it be celebrating? Will it be remembering what occurred that day? Will it be on a different day, for example? What do you think the future's got in hold in regards to Australia Day?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be on a different day. And I at the moment, at least, don't see much political interest or political will in, you know, doing much well, certainly not in moving it to another day, as some people have suggested. But I think what'll happen is there'll be continuing debate about it. And it may well be that critique becomes stronger. That will affect how it's commemorated and how it's marked too.
Okay.
So it's at least possible, I would have thought, that, you know, it will have a less celebratory aspect. Maybe we'll lose the fireworks, for instance, you know, something like that, because certain types of rituals on the day are seen as increasingly inappropriate. But, I mean, what I find encouraging, I think it's great and healthy in a democratic society that you have these debates, that you have debates about whether it is an appropriate national day, that you have debates about what are the best ways of marking it. You know, Australia Day also, you know, it competes with Anzac Day. I mean, whether Australia Day really is, you know, Australia's national day, I think is questionable. In a lot of ways, Anzac Day has come to fulfil that kind of role, and it clearly has a kind of solemnity, I think, that Australia Day has never actually had.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always had a kind of an association with leisure and a good time, for at least for settler Australians.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Frank, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily Today.
Pleasure. Have a good day, Adrian.
Thank you. That was Professor Frank Bongiorno there, an Australian Labor political and cultural historian from ANU, talking to us about Australia Day's history and how it formed the national identity, as we were saying earlier, that we know today and we're discussing today on today's show.